Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is an early Friday morning market newsletter special edition. We have quite a few members around the world, but first off, for those of you who live in the United States, happy Thanksgiving. And the reason why I'm sending this newsletter out early Friday morning is because futures are down pretty substantially, at least as of the time I'm recording this. Currently, it's about 4:30 a.m. I live in the central time zone in the United States. The market opens at 8:30, so the market opens about 4 hours from now. And as you know, the world markets were down substantially on Thursday due to the debt crisis that is going on in Dubai. As you know, Dubai has been in a major expansion, and the debt has got way ahead of them. Of course, we all know that the world has huge problems with debt. It's not just the United States, it's Europe, and apparently it's many other areas of the world. Even Japan, and even China has gotten a little ahead of itself. So, futures are down substantially tonight, and again, they're well off their lows. For example, the S&P futures currently are down about 28.5 points to 1080, but they were down as low as 1067. So they bounced quite a bit off their lows. And again, by the time the market opens 4 hours from now, the futures may have recovered quite a bit, or they may be down lower again. We'll just have to see. So at the time that I'm recording this, as you can see in item number one, Dow futures are down about 200, S&P futures are down 28.5, NASDAQ futures are down 45. And the world markets are down quite a bit. You could see the Hang Seng is down over 1,000, Nikkei down over 300, crude oil, also the Europe was down pretty substantially, and crude oil is down, as well as all their commodities, and gold's down about 30. So lots of markets have been hit by this. And this morning's newsletter, first off, I'm just going to go over a few charts, and then charts number 10 through 19 are the charts that I'm going to be following for tomorrow. As you know, for the U.S. markets, the market is only open a half a day. And again, if the market futures do not improve substantially from currently, we're looking at a big gap down. And, you know, gap downs can be kind of emotional. And so I'm going to present some charts to you that I'll be looking at in the morning. And, of course, in the morning, Steve and I will be posting some charts and some observations. So let's go and get started here. So item number one shows you what the, futures are and what the world markets are currently at. Again, it's about 4:30 Central Time here. By the time you see this in the morning, it could be quite different. Chart number two is a 15-minute chart of the ES, that's the S&P 500 futures contract. And again, basically similar to the S&P 500. And you can see that I've drawn Fibonacci numbers from November 25th high at 11.11 to tonight's low, which was 1067. So the bounce areas that where it might find resistance are the 38, the 50%, and the 61.8%. That's at 1083 or 1084, the 38%, 1089, the 50%, and 1094, the 61.8%. If the S&P or the ES futures bounce up to those areas and start to reverse down, those could be areas where you could take a short potentially. So that's some areas that I'm looking for in the morning. Again, we'll just have to see how far the futures bounce or where they are by the morning. And below that, I have some intraday stock chart links that might be useful. I have stock chart links here for members and for non-stock chart members. I have an S&P 15 and 30-minute chart, a 60-minute chart, as well as a Dow 30-minute chart, and a NASDAQ 60-minute chart. Now, the next several set of charts are just showing you that, you know, yes, the markets are down substantially on the Dubai news, but honestly, none of us should be too surprised. there have been so many red flags in this market all along, and especially recently, and such as, first off, chart number 3 is a daily chart of the Dow. You can see the bearish rising wedge pattern that has been forming since the March lows. And notice the volume has been declining the whole way up, or the whole way up in the market, and especially since even November. So, you know, first off, the pattern is bearish, but this declining volume and also breadth has been declining. So we've had these warning signs all along. Chart number 4 is another daily chart of the Dow, and the I've drawn three parallel lines here. The middle parallel line could be a support level if we sell off hard enough. Again, on these daily charts, the Arun oscillator to top, the 25 Arun oscillator appears to be a break point when it crosses above or below zero. Currently, all the daily index charts are above zero, except the Russell 2000. Chart number 5 is the daily chart of the Russell 2000, and as we know, the Russell 2000 small caps have been severely lagging, and that was another red flag for the market, besides the declining volume. Chart number 6 was in last week's update. It was Monday's update, November 23rd. On Monday, I stated that the weekly Bollinger Bands were starting to pinch inward, and that was something to watch. It was pointing to a big move coming, and it looks like we're getting that today. Chart number 7 is a comparison of the S&P 500 with GE. And it's interesting because GE tends to lead, if you look at the chart and the comparison going back the last few years. And recently, GE made a lower high, while the S&P made a higher high. So it looks like that's going to come to play again. We're going to get a pullback in the markets. Number 8 is a daily chart of Goldman Sachs, major broker, the evil broker as we all know it. Anyway, all the major brokers, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, etc., have not participated in this market. As you can see, it's been very weak since the October highs. That was another red flag and a warning sign for this market. Chart number 9 is a 60-minute chart of the BKX, the banks index. And as you can see, the banks have not been participating either. Their high was in October, and they have not made new highs at all in November. In fact, they were forming a bear flag here. Again, another warning sign. Okay, guys? So, you know, while that Dubai news was definitely a major catalyst for the market, and the world markets to sell off on Thursday, and for futures to be down early Friday morning here, all of this has been setting up in the charts. And now charts number 10 through 19 are basically what I'll be looking for on Friday. Chart number 10, again, is that 15-minute ES futures chart with fibs on it. So make sure to watch the 38, 50%, and 61.8% Fibonacci areas. Chart number 11 is a 60-minute chart of the Dow. And early this week, the Dow rallied up on Monday, and it hit the upper top of this trend line. So that was a perfect area. Negative divergence has been setting up in this chart a long time, as you can see. So, you know, yeah, not too surprisingly that we're finally selling off here. The area to watch for on Monday is that red uptrend line. That's a support line to see if we break that or not. Again, I think futures have been lower than this line, but if futures improve tonight, they could open above the line. We'll just have to see, but that's an area to watch. Chart number 12 is the 60-minute chart of the S&P 500. This is the fan chart, and you know this chart has been working beautifully. Every time we break a trend line, we come and back test it. That happened with trend line number 4. We broke it, and we came and back tested it, and that was a perfect shorting area. Now you had to sit through a couple weeks as chop, but it looks like it's ultimately playing out. But now, currently, the support area to watch is this red support line here. And it's just, so that's the area to watch. Now, futures have been below that line, but you know, we'll see if they open above or below there on Friday. And, of course, the Arun oscillator to top the 180 setting, when it goes above or below zero, that tends to give you a general swing trade sell or buy signal. Currently, it's above the zero level, but, you know, quite possibly on Friday, it could go below it. So that's a chart to watch as well. Now let's zoom into the charts a little bit more. Chart number 13 is a 15-minute chart of the S&P 500. And, you know, it was traded in this range here. And so the support level is that lower trend line. By the way, that lower trend line around 1089 comes in around the 50% Fibonacci retracement on ES futures. So it'll be interesting to see if ES futures or the market futures, the market cash index opens above this lower trend line or below it. If it opens below it substantially and then it rallies up, that area could be a resistance area then. Chart number 14 is a 30-minute chart of the S&P, and I've drawn Fibonacci retracements from the November lows to the highs at 1013.5. So you can see the 38% Fib comes in at 1081.5, 50% comes in at 1071.5. So those two areas are potential bounce areas. If we open around those areas or open and then sell off to those areas, I wouldn't look to short those areas. I would look to cover any shorts that you have, because then we'll probably get some kind of bounce. Again, if we open substantially below this horizontal pattern here that I've drawn with the blue lines, if we rally back up, a rally back up to that lower trend line could be an area to short, potentially. Chart number 15, well, is another 30-minute chart of the S&P. I don't know why I have two of these, but anyway, nothing really, the same pattern applies here. You have the horizontal pattern up here, but you also have this gap zone, or this thin zone, where I have the thin horizontal box, and you have the 38% and 50% retracement. Again, those are areas that are potentially support, and again, the resistance area would be that 1086, 1087, 1090 area if we rallied back up to that. Again, it really depends on where we open, guys. It's just charts that I'm looking at. Chart number 16 is a 30-minute chart of the NASDAQ with Fibonacci retracement lines. The Fibonacci areas are potential support areas to watch for on Friday, depending on where we open. Chart number 17 is the 60-minute chart of the NASDAQ. You can also see there's a gap there to fill, potentially. So that's the charts I'm watching for Friday, guys. And again, it's only a half a day for those of us in the U.S., and if you remember, at the top of this newsletter, I have dynamic links for these charts. So let's move on. Chart number 18 is a daily chart of the U.S. dollar. And as we know, the U.S. dollar is key in this market. On Wednesday, I posted this chart of the U.S. dollar, this horizontal support going all the way back to June of 2008. And the dollar hit, as you know, the dollar sold off hard on Wednesday, and it could have been potentially a capitulation day for the dollar. We'll just have to see. But it found perfect support, that horizontal line, and it rallied off of it on Friday, on Thursday, because of the Dubai news. And so it bounced off support logically. So again, the dollar possibly put in some kind of major bottom, but it's still too early to say. But it did hit that support level quite perfectly. Anyway, the 50-day moving average is key resistance. You can see in that light blue area, and it needs to get over there substantially to really say that the bottom is in for the dollar. And the next resistance levels are the thin pink horizontal lines above. Chart number 19, the daily chart of the U.S. dollar from stockcharts.com. Again, you can see that same horizontal line going back to June of 2008. We hit that perfectly. The reason I'm showing you this chart is because I have a wave count on here. So if Wednesday's low was a bottom, that would be a wave 5. Again, it's too early to say, so we'll just have to see. But so far, the dollar's put in a pretty good bounce tonight. And chart number 20 is a daily chart of UUP. This is the U.S. dollar ETF. It also hit a potential support area on Wednesday. The problem with UUP is he recently had some false movement due to some share issuance a couple weeks back, and so you had this fake move that was up, and you see it pointed here. So UUP, again, it's an ETF, and sometimes ETFs are subject to this. And so the next chart, chart number 21, is a mutual fund. It's a RIDEX fund, It's the RIDEX strengthening 2x U.S. dollar fund. So basically it moves 2x what the U.S. dollar does. It's a mutual fund, so it's not like an ETF. It's a fund that you have to buy, and it doesn't, you know, you don't buy it until the end of the day. You can't sell it until the end of the day. But this is one that moves 2x versus the UUP, which moves 1x. And so this is an interesting chart, maybe in a fund you might want to look at if the dollar does confirm a bottom. It's a slow mover, but it does move 2x, you know, relative to the UUP. So maybe it's a little bit more stable. So next, going over a few other charts. Chart number 22 is RWM. This is the Russell 2000 bear ETF. It's the one-time ETF. This is on the watch list. It's been on the watch list for quite a while, and we were negative on it for a little bit. The Arun crossed up above zero in late October, and that was a buy signal. And it stayed above zero. And so currently, if you're still holding RWM, great job, because you'll be rewarded, especially with the gap down. And use the Arun oscillator going below zero as the stop. That's the stop I have on the watch list. And Russell 2000 has been underperforming relative to the market, as you know. Chart number 23 is SH. That's the one-time S&P 500 ETF. It's on the watch list under the long-term trades. And not sure if anyone owns this. I own a little bit. It's found support at that broken trend line, and it's definitely going to go up on Friday. So the next resistance areas are the 20 and 50-day moving averages. And nice positive divergence developing. You want to see the MACD go above zero, and the Arun oscillator to top. Once it goes above zero, that will be a good buy confirmation as well. The same with chart number 24, that's PSQ, that's the NASDAQ 100 ETF inverse fund. Ultimately, you want to see the Arun go above zero. You want to see the MACD go above zero, but it's definitely a fund that's setting up, trying to bottom. And on the watch list, we also have quite a few longs, but you know, all of our longs have nice profits. We have stops in place, and so it's possible that quite a few of those are going to get stopped out on Friday. That's just how it goes. But ultimately, I think we'll be stopped out in profits on most of the long positions. And chart number 25 and 26 is the NYSI Summation Index plotted as a cumulative graph. This chart has been excellent at catching trends and good for people who trade in their 401k plans. It's very good at trending. You can see it gave a buy signal in April, and it never gave a sell signal. And it had you short almost all of 2008, which was excellent. Anyway, it doesn't pick exact bottoms or tops. Typically, the market has to fall or go up 5 or 10% before it signals. So it's not a top picker or a bottom picker. But, you know, negative divergence has been setting up this in a while. You can see the MACD has been declining. And so this is one that will eventually trigger short, but it has not yet. Moving on, chart number 27 is we're going to talk about gold. As you know, gold has been in a tear. Gold hit almost $1,200 on Wednesday. But tonight it's down pretty substantially. Gold's down $30. And chart number 27 is DZZ. DZZ is the 2x gold short or inverse ETF. And the 60-minute chart here, this is what I'm looking at. Currently have a downtrend line here, two downtrend lines. You have a shorter one, which is resistance, and you have a longer-term downtrend line, which comes over probably around 1280. And that upper downtrend line has been pretty substantial resistance. I think a break over that would set an even a stronger correction in gold. It's possible it could just gap up over these trend lines on Friday. And lastly, since we have a lot of members who live around the world, all over Europe, in Australia, New Zealand, Saudi Arabia, China, South America, etc., the last set of charts number 28 to 43 are on foreign markets. And as you go down through these charts, you'll see that, you know, all the foreign markets have been looking pretty toppy. I'm not going to go through all these, but we'll just look at them quickly. Chart number 28 is the DAX. You can see the DAX had formed a lower high here, and there's a trend line just below it. Again, this is the German market. If it breaks that trend line, that would be pretty negative. It had negative divergence at the top. Chart number 29 is Russia trading system. It broke a rising wedge with negative divergence this week. Bearish. Looks like it has quite a bit to go down, maybe even down to the 200-day moving average. Chart number 30, Austria. And you can see it's already started to break down. It had negative divergence. Chart number 31 is the CAC. That's the French index. It has a very pretty head and shoulders top here. Again, the first set of charts here are Europe. Chart number 32 is Italy. Also a bearish head and shoulder pattern. Chart number 33, FTSE, the London Times. And it also has nice negative divergence here. So there is a support trend line below, but it's quite far below. Chart number 34, Belgium, possibly sporting a head and shoulder top. Chart number 35, Norway, bearish rising wedge. Chart number 36, Toronto, Canada, kind of a horizontal rectangle pattern, but some negative divergence. Chart number 37 is Australia, and it's a nice uptrend here, but you have a support trend line right above, and if it breaks that, then it's probably going to have more correction. The last top was marked with negative divergence. And the last set of charts are from Asia, India, the Shanghai, and also Brazil at the bottom. So there you go. There's a look at the world markets. So again, guys, for Friday, view charts number 10 through 19. Those are the shorter-term charts that I'll be looking at on Friday. Anyway, let's see what happens on Friday. It's a crazy market, and I'm going to see if I can get another maybe an hour or so of sleep here before the market opens. So, talk to you on Friday. Thank you.